Thank you. I promise I'll behave. I always behave. I just get excited sometimes. But anyway, praise the Lord. He just always goes before Matt Finn. He gives me a message to share on a Sunday. I had no idea that Paul had asked Amanda to share, or Fitcher was going to be speaking about. And what the Lord has been saying all morning just completely lines up with the message that I've got to share this morning. It's a wee bit different because usually I'll get a chunk of scripture and then I'm teaching out what place. But I'm more testifying this morning. I'm sharing a wee bit of testimony of what the Lord's done in my life the past couple of years, but also the past couple of weeks. So the Lord speaks to me in all different ways. It's always through scripture, but he always gets my attention through heaps of different things. Sometimes he gives me pictures, or if I've been watching a movie, not always through movies, but just random things. But he does not always give my message for a Sunday through my random things. Most of the random things is just for me in my personal time with the Lord. So, but the day, the message, he actually spoke to me through the movie Tangled. Okay, it's a Disney movie. Hands up if you've seen Tangled. Okay, quite a few. So, this is really, he spoke to me. Somebody tagged me on Facebook on his Disney Princess Keys because I like Disney, just the whole history of it, and I teach about it in college. So it's just a part of, it's part of who I am. So, and then as soon as I seen the Tangled Key, God had actually spoke to me 2 years ago, and I made a little blog about it, and it's on Facebook. It's in my notes when you go on Facebook. And I was like, oh, I remember this message, Lord. So he started unpacking bits of this for me in the office. It's like my little tent down there. I sit down in my office chair, open my computer, and God just speaks to me, and it's wonderful. So the first time I watched this film, it was at Christmas holidays, and I'd been studying it at college, and I was really, like, stressed out. And I watched it, and I thought, oh, I love this movie. This movie's better than Frozen. Bit controversial there. But I do, in fact, like Rapunzel better than Elsa and Anna. So I'll just get, like, this film, apologies if you get any spoilers today, but it is years long, all, so you should have watched it by now. So it's about a princess, but when she's a baby, she gets stolen. Somebody kidnaps her out of the palace, and they raise her to think that she's somebody else. They keep her in a tower, and they tell her lots of lies. She doesn't ken that she's a princess anymore, and she lives a really restricted life. And this really is about her breaking away from these lies and discovering her true identity. She's Rapunzel. Her dad's looking for her. And she's a princess. So that's what the film really is about. So I was one day, 2 years ago, I had just started working at the church, I think, and I was walking down Alexandra Terrace, and there's a house directly across Figarian Zoe's house. And I've walked past this house a million times all of the past, like, 17 years I've been to the church, walked that corner all my days, coming here and gone home. And then I just sort of, like, looked to the right, and they've got, like, these cement blocks and steins that mark two patterns in their garden. And I meant to take a photo this week, and I forgot, but you can go on here, I know it's new. I'll do up to Gary and Zoe as I'm looking across the road. But if it is, they've got yellow cement blocks, and it creates, like, these, like, sun flower kind of shapes, and there's two of them. And I looked at him, and the Lord dropped, he said, Tangled. And I was like, oh, that's like the sun shape. Ooh, I Tangled. And then that day, he gave me a word about destiny and identity and about how the enemy will tell you lies to keep you bound in fear. He says, I've released you in fear, but he will try and convince you that you are still got that fear in you, for actually it's a lie, and you don't have to accept the fear or anxiousness in your life. And it was an empowering day. It was like somebody had ripped off this veil, and I could see the lies for they were. I'd been released for something, and I didn't actually have to put up with this nonsense anymore. It's an empowerment to say that we can stand strong in God's word and say, actually, I can for I am in Christ, and I can declare it and walk it out in my life. I'm not bold about too much in my life, but I'll be bold in about us that the Lord gives me his truth. And this is what I want to share about this morning. So all this came out of looking at the log blocks outside his wifey's garden. And I wrote a blog about it 2 years ago, and this is for the Lord wants me to share it. So, but like, he uses fear a lot against us, and it's something that he's used as a weapon a lot in my life. And it's true for a lot of us that the enemy will use fear to come against you as a weapon. But it says in the word that the weapon that is forged against us will not prosper. It winna win, it winna prevail. And if it happens when you're gone through these battles or the enemy's throwing stuff at you, if it's fear, anxiety, restriction, God does something in your life. He trains your hand for battle. In the verse, if you're taking notes, Psalm 18, 34 says this, he trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. In Psalm 18, I remember I got before I got away to Wales 4 years ago, and I used to play this psalm when I was trying to sleep through the night, every night. I used to read it. I used to remind myself. I thought, even if I'm sleeping, if this psalm is playing over my life about winning in battle, it's going to do something in my life. And that's what I did, because this is the beauty. Like, even when you're gone through the difficult things in your life, God is doing something beautiful. You might not see it at the time, but there's going to come a time you look back and say, I would never have learned this, or this would never have been revealed to me if I hadn't been in that place. And I remember that night so well when I first got away to Swansea 4 years ago. I was running on, like, I had to be at the college every day, first thing. You had chores to do, then you had to do this. It was, like, a lot on your schedule. I was running on, like, 2 hours or 3 hours of sleep at night because this anxiousness had just gripped my life. When I was writing this message, and I think about some of the bits in that film, Tangled, our hair gets all tangled that way. And, like, if you could just imagine, you almost feel tangled sometimes when you're walking through anxiousness. You're so restricted. You just go into shutdown. It's like sometimes you can't breathe. You feel you can't do the things that you need to do. And you're in a tangle. And this is what it was like for this first month when I was there. Like 2 to 3 hours a night. The only thing that I could do sometimes was just get out my bed, get on my knees and pray in tongues. I had no strength to do anything else. I was doing that. But sometimes that is enough. Because you have got no strength. You've spent all your strength in the God. Oh, your heart is coming to meet you where you are, and he's going to want to do something big. And this is what he does in our lives every single time. He has never failed me in everything that I've walked through. So it was a crazy time. Now, but well, that was 4 years ago. Well, last weekend, I was away. I get away back to Swansea for the first time since I was there 4 years ago. And it was my first trip back since I graduated from the college. And it had been delivered out of all this stuff. And I walked onto the college grounds. Here we go. Here's me. Oh, we're back up. Oh, we're just getting through the entire PowerPoint. It's fine. Oh, it's okay. It'll appear anyway. And when I walked onto the grounds, it was a really emotional experience. I'm walking about, there's this really bony gardens, kind of Italian gardens. And it was like I was looking at them for the first time. I could see how green they were. I was like, oh my goodness. I wasn't walking about there like full of anxiousness and fear anymore. I was just so full of joy. I couldn't believe it. I was there with my pal, and I kept on sitting down next to all the bony benches, like, take my photo here. And then I would run over to the next bit and like, take my photo standing here. And then I'm like, oh, let's go at the new sign, because there's new buildings. That thing's been deen up since I was there. And I was so excited. Like, I hugged the wah. I was like, the wah has done absolutely nothing for my life. It's the Lord, but I was just actually that full of joy. Something had changed in my life that I hadn't realized that fully until I was standing in that same place. I was in the same place, but I wasn't the same person. And I thought, oh my goodness. And like, that doesn't come by mine. It's grace, it's God. It's near the works. It's the only thing that Sarah can try and push through. In this. It's just God and being with him and everything that he had seen in my life there and since coming home. It was such a blessing to get a wah. I was a different class on the Saturday, but I got to meet up with some old pals on the Friday. And we were just sitting speaking about what we had been doing, what had been happening in the different churches. Ken and she was like, I can't believe you're speaking about these different things in your life because, okay, we would have discussions about different stuff and you had, like, there was these wahs that would come up. And I was like, aye, there was a lot of wahs. But I was like, praise the Lord, our wahs are gone. Like, I'm near the finished article and there's always stuff, like Amanda says, like, the Lord's molding things in us. But there had been a massive change in my life. And it was just, it was so full of joy. He had trained my hand for battle. And if God's training us all through our lives, through different situations, it's like he reveals heavenly secrets for your life to get free, but he's also handing you keys to unlock things for other folk as well. It's like you're journeying into the Spirit with the Lord, and there are secrets that he can share with you. I mean, that is an amazing fact, that God shares heavenly secrets with us. But they're not just for you at that time, they're for other folk in the future as well. So he hands us keys. If I would like some keys to deal with some issues this morning, I'm always up for keys. And he does this. He is actually, it's like he hands you a sword. And when you're gone through things, it's like your dad coming alongside you. And he's saying, okay, you need to hold the sword with two hands. You've got your feet apart, and this is how you hold it. You're like, okay. And then he says, right, and when this happens, you've got to swing it this way, and you've got to, yeah, okay, right, you're not really sure. But he's like alongside you the whole time, and he's teaching you how to hold your sword. What God is actually doing, he is teaching you truth, okay? And the first secret is, we hear it all the time, but it is the most powerful thing is, truth is your weapon, truth sets you free. It's God teaching you the truth to come against the lies of the enemy. So when you're going through your things, you can use the truth as a weapon. And in John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus says this. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What an amazing verse that we proclaim and we can stand on. The truth is your weapon. It is described as the sword of the Spirit and his words. But God cannot train us to use a sword if we didn't pick it up. This is the best weapon you will ever find in your life. It's this pieces of paper with ink on it. But it's so much more than that. It's alive. It's dangerous. I sit down and I read something and I start getting excited and then I kind of be quiet for the rest of the day. My peer mom's got to sit and listen to my ranting on about something and I'm like, I've just discovered this new secret. I've just realized the truth of this situation. It's how I've managed to become a changed person for I was 4 years ago. It's why that Amanda is able to come and share her testimony and be full of the freedom of God is because she's found herself reading God's word. It's a simple truth, but it's a powerful and it's like a bomb that goes off. We've got to be people of our words, and it's not a condemnation thing. It's an empowerment thing. It's like, if you're like, I really want to get set free of these things. I really want to be somebody that can be found in the word. And it's like, if you want help, like practical help, how do I do that? Come and ask somebody. You could ask me. You can ask somebody in your house church, pastor, there are simple things that you can put in your life that will enable you to read your word every day. Because, like, you didn't waking up one morning and realize, oh, I'm going to read my Bible anywhere every day and I get to pray anywhere every day. Like, you've got to start some way, and you normally start some way small. And I always recommend, like I did, was sit for 5 minutes every morning before I used to get a bus to Aberdeen. I did. I never did anything else. Just opened this devotional and 5 minutes. And that's where I started. God just started doing something in my life. And if I missed a day, I didn't beat myself up about it. So if you miss a day, didn't beat yourself up about it. But didn't try and do it on your own. Get along some somebody else. Try and get advice for somebody, because that is the best thing. That's what the family of Christ is for, to get encouraged, to get strengthened, just to ask for help, because we're really good in this northeast corner at saying, I'll just eat myself. I didn't like to ask. Well, stop. Just go and ask somebody. We really need to have broken off of our lives and just get a boldness about ourselves. Just ask. I want to be able to read my Bible. And we're not going to want to sit and tell you to do it for an hour every day, because that's not realistic. I never started like that. But ask. And you can't say, the enemy, he hates the word. He hates the word. He hates, because it exposes him. It exposes what he is. He's a liar. It says he's a father of lies. And it says he's a defeated liar as well. He's a defeated enemy. And he hates the people that will get in to the word of God, because it's living, it's active, it's powerful. He fears people that will rise up and cling on to the truth. You see, going back to the movie that God spoke to me, Rapunzel was feared to leave the tower. But it wasn't really the tower that kept her, because she could have used her hair to climb out to the window only time she wanted. It was the lies that had been fed into Rapunzel that she wouldn't leave. She was too scared. And you see that in the movie. And it's us lies that you are going to be in this tower for the rest. You're going to be in this place for the rest of your life. This is your lot. She'd been told that this was her lot. You will have this restrictions on your life. We believe the lies of the enemy so easily than we are not getting dipped into God's truth. And it's a powerful thing. And it can be an exciting thing. Even if you didn't like to read, it just stops being about reading. It stops being about learning about who God is, or digging into this treasure of heaven that God's got for you and your parents and your family, or the ministry that you're a part of. There is treasure to be pulled down from heaven into the earth through you reading your Bible. And that is the truth. And powerful matter is that. And it is why the enemy will come and try and condemn us about it. Didn't be condemned about it. I'm just going to read my Bible. I forgot to read it yesterday, but it's okay. It's about God's grace. Just get into it. Enjoy what God has got for you every day. I'm getting excited and deviated from my notes again. This is the lies the enemy will feed into your life, that you've got a restricted life. But this is not God's truth for you, or his plan for your life. He does not intend for you to abide in any tower that somebody has placed you in. He does not intend you to be bound by fear and anxiousness all your days. His plan for you, another verse you've maybe never heard before, or you've maybe heard it a million times, read it again. Ask God to reveal this into your heart. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future. These are truths to grab on this morning and ask the Lord. I don't care how much times you've read that verse or only a verse from the Bible. God has always got something new, because he is endless. He is deep. He is life. And he has got more to share with you than you can even hope or imagine, regardless of circumstances. Fear is a liar. But what the word is, apart from setting you free, it also tells you why you are. Secret number two is... But did I write up here again? I think I changed it after I did my notes. Ah, here we go. You have an identity. I originally wrote down, you are a princess, but I thought, oh, no, I can't write that. So, you are not a princess. But you do have an identity, okay? So not only Rapunzel had been fed lies to be kept trapped, but her identity of what she really was had been teen fair. She didn't ken that she belonged in a palace, And she didn't ken that she had a father and a mother that loved her so much and was still looking for her. They never gave up hope. They always looked for her, and they even released us lanterns up in the sky to remember everybody that they were looking for their daughter. And there's a really funny bit in the film where she finds a crown, but she doesn't really care what it is, and like she tries to put her hand through it, and she's like dangling it, and it's really funny because it's supposed to go on her head, and she's got no idea. It's kind of like us, we're picking up us crown, like, what's this meant to be? And I'm like looking at it, Rapunzel, you're a princess, it's your crown! Like, got really excited about it, but I did actually try to get a crown the day because I was going to hate sitting here, and I was maybe going to wear it as well, but I forgot to get it, so... But it's like us, like, one of the biggest things God's ever done for me while training me through all different things in life was giving me my identity. He taught me who I was in Christ, because that's where your identity is. It's not in your works, how much ministry you do, how much hours that you pray. Your identity is in Christ. You have got a full, justified, righteous identity in Christ first. And this is what enables you to do all the other stuff. In a mind after I come back from Wales, I get in a season of the Lord really teaching me of who I was in Christ. That I was his child, that he was my father, and he loved me. He just wasn't a God, but he was actually my dad. And he enjoyed spending time with me. And I mind reading Zephaniah about how he, like, delighted in me. And I got this picture where I'm smiling. And I thought, the very fact that God's smiling when I walk in a room changed how I lived my life. It just didn't become this random fact, but it changed who I was. I was like, I am loved. I'm like, I am delightful. I was like, I've never felt like this in my life. And I was like, so it really just changes who you are. It gives you a security and a confidence learning that actually I do belong in a palace. Like, I am royalty. My God, my father, is the King of Kings. Like, that changes things for me and how I operate my life. It's simple truths. You are a child of God this morning, folks. You have got a dad in heaven. That truth's never going to change. It is amazing. It changes you. It's what gets rid of fear in our lives is learning about why your dad is in heaven. It's good. It's exciting. I hope you're excited, because I am. On paper, it might not sound like mind-blowing stuff, you are a child of God, but when God starts telling you out of your spirit, it'll change your whole outlook in life and how you do this walk with God and church. It's not just about racking up the good deeds, or clocking in the hours of prayer, or work, or anything like that. It's about realizing how much God loves you and just blows your mind. Like, I could sit and try and do all the good deeds that I want for hours on end and not feeling any better about myself. But I'll spend 5 minutes and God will remind me how much he loves me, and it will just change my day. It's like becomes like a river inside you that gushes out in other folk. Like, you're smiling and folk are like asking you, and you're just like, I feel wonderful. I was at church on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't prepared a speech, or just this words coming out to the folk that I work with, telling them how wonderful things are because of God. And I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm not afraid about it because I've encountered a relationship, a love. It's like when you first meet somebody that you start a relationship with, like, I'm Ken's. I'm thanks to that person. I'm so happy, Ken. You stop eating for 2 weeks and lost a bit of weight because I'm so happy. It becomes like that in the spirit. Something changes in you because you're having a relationship with God, and it overpours into people's lives. And like, oh, this is a real thing for her. I'm like, you better believe it. It's a real thing for me. I'm not just somebody that rocks up on a Sunday because it's a good thing to do. It's because I've encountered something really real in the spirit, and that's what folk hunger for. That's what the world is crying out for, that realness. Folk with identity issues or anger issues, they're crying out for something real. The world is sick fed up of being lied to, and it's why it's so important that we, as the body of Christ, learn for we are so that we can be the example of children of God. The world is crying out to see the sons and daughters of God walking about the street in confidence, not because life's perfect, we are peace in the midst of absolute chaos, because you can, for your Father is. You can, you're the bride of Christ. That is an amazing thing God is teaching me about. And if you have got a free night, Monday or Tuesday, please do come hear Linda, because I'm sure it's going to be about being the bride, the relationship side of Songs of Solomon. I am excited to hear about it. It empowers you to hear how God thinks about you. It changed. I can that I'm changed, but it's because of him and anything that I ever did. Couldn't I try and mark it up? Suppose I tried. I knew that I was changed. I've got my identity back, and I'm trying to work it out with him. We need our identity back. And one of my passions is to see the body of Christ, us in here, realizing far we are in him. And your identity is in Christ. It is in him. And just be real with him. Just say, right, God, I want you to show me. Just take 5 minutes after a day and just say, right, God, show me who I am. And it might not happen that day, but be sure he will start showing you. He will be speaking to you for the weeks to come. Tell me about my identity. Maybe you're not into Disney princesses and that's not working for you. Well, he'll speak to you another way. Just say, God, I want to care for I am in you, for it means to be a child of God. And he will speak to you far you are at. Secret number 3. So I told you 2 years ago, God started speaking to me about us 2 years ago outside at People's House in Alexander Terrace. And what I did was go home and write a note, like a little bloggy thing on Facebook, as sometimes I do. I've gotten it down here, and I just want to mark the last secret. You belong to a kingdom. Okay? And then I just want to read out part of what I wrote on that day about you belonging in to a kingdom. So this is what I wrote. Rapunzel, if I get some paint to amuse herself while she's locked up, starts to paint her walls. And she doesn't care for she is at this point. And she paints the roofs with fantastic images and murals of lights, color, and she paints a certain sun symbol. She has this creative gift within her that has been part of her since she was little, and it cannot be taken from her. She paints and she paints, and she paints as this symbol. Can you put the next slide on? Nathan, it's the last scene. And this is she does not realize that she's painting this. There's a bit at the end of the movie where she looks at our painting and realizes that she's painted this the whole time. She has no idea what it is she just keeps painting. It just keeps painting over and over again. And it's something that's ingrained in her. It's part of us. And this is her family crest. And you see it in the palace. This symbolizes the kingdom that Rapunzel was a part of. There is a beautiful moment that she finds out that it's the crest from her kingdom, a crest of identity. And no matter how much lies that she's been told, or maybe even believes, there is this sun beating inside her. It's beating and it wants to come out. It wants to bring her to the truth of who she really is and where she actually belongs. We belong to a kingdom and have an identity that is greater than we will ever know. You belong there in a kingdom. We put up with so many lies about who we are and what is our lot. This is my lot in life. I am worth nothing and I have no destiny. When the truth is that God has called you as his own since your birth. Your heart beats now, even hearing this, because your whole life you have known that you belong to someone or somewhere. You belong with God. You belong with him. There is a sun that actually does beat in your heart, and it's not a sun, it's the S-O-N, the Son of God. His name is Jesus, who came to return you to the kingdom, to the Father, where he longs to set you free from the lies you've believed about yourself and who you are. You are loved, you are made, you belong and have a precious identity. Those the Son sets free are free indeed. John 8:36. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. There's nae formulas, there's nae hoops to jump through. There is just Jesus. Jesus calls us back home. Jesus calls us into the kingdom that you belong to. He didn't climb a big tower to come and save you, but he did go to a cross and he did die on that cross for you so that you could accept him as your Lord to come back in to the kingdom that your Father so desires you would be. Anna and Paul, if you can just come up and play lightly, is that okay? He went to the cross, and that's the whole point of Jesus coming, is so that he could return you into the kingdom that you belong. To return you out of the lost state that you feel to come back. So let's close our eyes right now. And we'll just do this so that we can focus and not get distracted and think about Jesus. Maybe you've thought about Jesus before. Maybe this is the first time you've thought about Jesus or heard that you belonged in a kingdom. But let me tell you, it was the biggest rescue story that could ever be written. Better than any Disney movie, because he rescued mankind so that it could come back and be with the Father and the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of peace. And you've never got to hear, oh, worked out, but you just can. Jesus, if it's beating in your heart right now, like Rapunzel had that vision and she kept thinking about the sun and she was painting it over and over again. It was like beating within her. And you're thinking, there's something beating within me because I need this. It's Jesus. Like you're here today because he wanted you to ken about him, to ken about the freedom that he's got for you. Ken about his love for you, about the rescue that he did for you on the cross. So the first thing that I want to do is our eyes are closed. If what Jesus is beating in your heart this morning and you're, I want Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to acknowledge that he died for me so that I can come in as kingdom and do life with the Lord and experience the joy and the peace and the good things he's got for my life. It doesn't mean that we didn't face anything difficult after that. It means that you have gotten somebody alongside you, championing you through everything you will encounter in this life. It wants to do life with you. He wants to rescue you for an eternity with him in hell and to ensure that you are with him. Jesus, we thank you for your blood. If you want to respond and nobody's looking at you in there, this is just a personal thing. If you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want you. I want to accept you into my life. Just put your hand up. And I'll just give you 10, 20 seconds. Just put your hand up if you want to accept Jesus. I see your hand there. You can put it down. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just say this prayer together in a room. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your blood. Thank you that you have died on the cross and forgiven my sins. Thank you that you rose again and can give me new life. Come into my heart and be my King. Lead my life, Lord. Take me into the kingdom of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. As we come to an end, I've spoken about the kingdom, about salvation, about coming to Jesus, but I've also spoken about identity and rising up as the body of Christ and realizing how far we are. So if we sing one song, I invite you out, come to get prayer. There is a prayer team here that would love to pray. If there was anything that's spoken to your heart this morning, about getting into your word, just about Lord teaching you how much he loves you and how much you are his child, about rising up in your identity in Christ, I invite you just to come out to the front. And even if it's not specific to the word, but you want prayer for something else, anxiousness, fear, to be broken off your life that we have heard testified about by Amanda, spoken about in the message. You are free to come in this safe place. You are free. Those the Son set free are free indeed. And he wants you to encounter that freedom this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Come as a gentle dove and work in our hearts as you do. As we sing your praises, O Lord, come and meet with us again and fill us afresh in your name.